Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we have come together in this hour into this beautiful sanctuary, seeking your presence, seeking your direction, and seeking your peace. Please bless us in this hour as we attempt to worship you in spirit and in truth. And let us be very glad this day that we have come into the house of the Lord to worship. Amen. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Today we have a very special part of worship service. The sacrament of baptism for little William Waylon Burns. First of all, I'd like for all the boys and girls to come forward, and I would like you to be right here so you can have a front row seat as to what is happening. So if you all would come, that would be splendid. That front row one, huh? Good. Now, boys and girls, this is what's called the sacrament of baptism. Good, we've got a crowd. Look at this. Wonderful. You might want to scoot over there so it won't be behind my... Whoa! Careful there, dude. So glad to see all of you today. Now, as the Burns come forward, we have a very special hymn in our hymnal. It's also on the screen. So if you would sing that sitting down, we'll ask for the four of you, and little Everly's going to help me with the service too. I explained this to her, that when she was her little brother's size, I baptized her. And you know, she didn't remember it, but that's all right. Would you sing? Would you all come forward? Dearly beloved, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which grace we become partakers of his righteousness and heirs of life eternal. Those receiving the sacrament are thereby marked as Christian disciples and initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. Our Lord has expressly given to little children a place among the people of God, which holy privilege must not be denied them. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Now, Bill and Amanda, these are historic questions that are asked of parents. I asked these questions when little Everly was baptized. Here they are, once again. Bill, Amanda, do you, in presenting your son for holy baptism, confess your own faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you therefore accept as your bounden duty and privilege to live before your son a life that becomes the gospel, to exercise all godly care that he be brought up in the Christian faith, that he be taught the Holy Scriptures, and that he learn to give reverent attendance upon the private and public worship of God? We do. Will you endeavor to keep your son under the ministry and guidance of the church until he, by the power of God, shall accept for himself the gift of salvation and be confirmed as a full and responsible member of Christ's holy church? What name is given this beautiful young man? William Whalen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brethren of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care little William Whalen Burns, whom we this day recognize as a family, as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that he may grow in the knowledge and love of God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ? Would you turn and face the congregation? And what is your response, people of God?
With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that William Whalen, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal.
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, grant that William Whalen, as he grows in years, may also grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by the restraining and renewing influence of the Holy Spirit, he may ever be a true son of yours, serving thee faithfully all of his days. So guide and uphold these parents and extended family members, that by loving care, wise counsel, and holy example, they may lead him into the life of faith, whose strength is righteousness, and whose fruit is everlasting joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to take this young man on a field trip, and I'm going to bring him to you so that you can see your latest responsibility. Every time they come, and they've been here before, we are going to make sure that we are living the way Jesus would have us live, because this young man looks at us, and he sees things we think he doesn't see. And if you don't believe me, check anybody out. They will say, we don't hear what you say, but we see what you do. Would you sing Jesus Loves Me? Would you hold that for me? Now look, boys and girls.
Jesus loves me.
What do you think? Peppermint.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know.
You all have already seen him. I think William Whalen enjoyed seeing all of you. I couldn't decide what it was, the flavor of his two fingers he had in his mouth, but I think it was probably peppermint. Thank you all so much for coming up. You're very welcome. Thank you all for coming. You got your front row seat, didn't you? In our bulletin, we have a number of prayer concerns. Let's always keep them forefront in our minds and in our hearts, and always be faithful in lifting these persons and others to the Lord in prayer. Also, if you would, as you sign the Ritual Friendship pads, be sure to enter additional names that we need to be praying for as a church. And in this way, we can continue our prayers, on behalf of the people. Don, I would like to get you, please, to close the door because the glare is facing me and I can't see God's people very well if I'm seeing the light. So I want us to be an open door church, but when I'm preaching, I need to see you and the light glares, if you get my drift. Thank you, sir. Good. Also, I'd like for you to notice a tea that's going to be held. We're just delighted to host this tea for Jennifer and for Brett. The Snipes are here today, and this young man's part of us, and his lovely wife-to-be is part of another congregation too. So this is going to be a special occasion. It'll be on Sunday, 2 weeks today, from 2 to 4 here in our fellowship hall. Now, Brett, of course, is in the Navy, and whenever he's home, he doesn't sit out here. He goes to the choir, and he helps Larry hold down the men's section, right? That works. So he is a fine young man. He's one of our own. And I've known Jennifer just very briefly, but I'm most impressed with her, too. This is going to be a marriage that's made in heaven. It's just going to be wonderful, and we get to have part of the celebration. There are other announcements, anniversaries, special remembering that we need to send cards to. Let us keep those in our prayers too. Yes, Richard. Yes, thank you very much. Richard had an announcement that I forgot to give you. The trustees are planning a walk around to see what needs to be done to this church. However, we need to postpone that to next Sunday. So right after next Sunday's worship, the trustees will meet and simply walk around the church, see what needs to be fixed, but also to see what we would like to have to glorify God in the physical aspect of the building, the sanctuary, and so on. Next Sunday, the walk around for the trustees. Now, will you join me in prayer together? Let us pray. Once again, O Lord, in our worship service, we come to you and approach your throne of grace in prayer. We are told to pray without ceasing. We are told to pray frequently. We are told simply to live by faith. And if we keep our faith strong, we must pray. We must know where you lead us. As the hymn says, where he leads me, I will follow. So help us be faithful, O Lord, in following you and your Holy Spirit. Help us enjoy the salvation you've given us. Help us to appreciate having our eyes opened by you to your majesty. And we recognize simply to look around in this beautiful part of the world here in East Tennessee, we recognize the beauty of the landscape where lakes and mountains meet and come together. We give you thanks for all the different kinds of foliage that we have and certainly all the different kinds of animals who live here. We are grateful for being able to see them and hopefully separate ourselves from them when we need to. For Lord, help us realize that most of us are settling where they used to live, and this means possible clashes with the wildlife. But that's all right, because all of us are part of your creation. So help us be responsible stewards of the areas where we are given to live. Thank you for our families and our extended families. And we also want to remember those who are having difficulties with their family life. We want to remember those whose families are celebrating, such as the Ingle and Burns family today. We remember those families who have found that following Jesus is indeed the way to the truth and the level of life that is profound in every way, and that level of life which is everlasting. Lord, we confess to you that on occasion we've been lazy, on occasion we haven't prayed, on occasion we've worried when we should have been praying, on occasion we have decided we would be God instead of letting you be God. And as a result, on occasion, we find ourselves in some pretty significant difficulty. And even though we're tied up with all the issues of life, everything from health to relationship issues, we're tied up with wondering where our job is going with us, or is our job going without us. We're tied up with issues that simply incapacitate us. Let us remind each other that what we are to do is to pray and to be open to your suggestions, to your leadership, so that we can indeed be led out of the malaise we find ourselves in. Dear Lord, we beseech you in our prayers of intercession, not just for ourselves and our conditions do we pray, but we pray for the world. We pray for those areas of conflict. We pray for those areas where political adventures are causing people to suffer and to suffer greatly. Lord, please send forth your Prince of Peace in all the areas where there will be tearing up, disruption of family life, and certainly killing and maiming. The world is full of conflict. But Lord, we know, and our tradition tells us, that you have chosen the church to be the instrument of salvation for the world. So let us measure up to what you've chosen us to do and to be. Let us step up and offer ourselves, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And then let us follow where you send us. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We come now in our service to the time of giving and receiving tithes and offerings. Let the ushers come. things come from you, O Lord, and it is but from your own that we return to you, your tithes and our offerings. Accept this money and further your work through these contributions, both here at this church and community and throughout our worldwide mission. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is taken from Mark's Gospel, from chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 26, and then reading through verse 34. Let us hear the word of the Lord. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nest in its shade. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let's bow in prayer, shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Over in the book of 1 Samuel, we have an account where the judge or the prophet Samuel has had a major falling out with the person he anointed to be king of Israel, and that was King Saul. And Samuel says, "You won't see me again till the day you die." And with that, these two outstanding leaders are separated because of a major rift. Samuel had pointed out to Saul that he had sinned by not following what God had said. And therefore, God's blessings upon Saul had been taken away, and that someone else would be anointed king of Israel. Well, that, of course, made Saul very angry. But Samuel left. And then God told Samuel, "Want you to go toward Bethlehem. Want you to go to the household of Jesse, because one of his sons is the person I have chosen, and you need, please, sir, to anoint him, to anoint him as king." So Samuel says, "Look, Saul and I have had a major falling out. If he ever sees me again, he'll probably kill me." "Oh, no, no. You take this animal with you, and you tell Saul you're going to Judea, to Bethlehem, in that area, and you're going to sacrifice. So Saul will not touch you." And this is what happened. He went his way. He came upon the household of Jesse, and he saw a very outstanding-looking son. And Samuel said to himself, "Surely this is the one that God has chosen to succeed Saul as king of Israel." But God said no. So Jesse, understanding Samuel's mission, lines up all of his sons. And each one Samuel looks at, God says, "No, it's not that one. Next one, no, it's not that one. Next one, no, it's not that one." So now Samuel asks Jesse, "Now, surely you have another son somewhere." "Oh, yes, the youngest. He's out keeping the sheep." You got to know now, a shepherd is next to the lowest rung of social standing. The shepherd has to work with dirty things like animals. The shepherd has to work with helping the ewes give birth to the lambs, and that means blood on their hands, and that also means they're unclean and they cannot worship. So here, David, the youngest of the sons, is getting the grunt job of the family. People have just kind of pushed him away because he might not be as big or strong or as good looking as some of his siblings might think they are. Yes, Jesse's out in the field. "Well, call him," Samuel says, "call him." So they call David. He's not presentable, but he's there, and then boom, all of a sudden, Samuel's eyes are opened. David is the one that he is to anoint, and that is what happens. Now, that's the Old Testament lesson in our lectionary readings of the day. What we just read a few minutes ago has to do with seeds and our Lord's analysis of how horticulture works. That the earth has its own timetable. All that has to be put in place is the seed. And then it grows and grows and grows, and then it's harvested. So the process is something we don't get to take part in, but we do sow the seeds, or we can sow the seeds, but unfortunately, sometimes the seeds we sow grow up into weeds, and that is problematic, of course. What do you do with weeds? Except hire people to cut them. Maybe that's a good thing. So, what we are dealing with is what we might call a process that simply is going to take place because it's the Lord's earth and the earthly agenda to let things grow. We've seen it ourselves in the last several weeks, haven't we? Wintertime, a couple of months ago, and all of a sudden, light green as the trees began to blossom forth, and our grass turns from brown of winter grass to green that has to be mowed on a regular basis. We know the process. But then Jesus has a very interesting statement. The kingdom of God is like a very small mustard seed. It is so tiny, it's like faith. The faith is there, the seed is planted, the process occurs, and then a huge shrub results. And the birds of the air can make their nests therein. So I want us to see two things thus far. First of all, the fact that God chooses. God chose David through the prophet Samuel to be king. Secondly, Jesus recognizes the process of growth is what the earth does. And then he makes the analogy, well, you know, that's what God does. That's what God does with the kingdom. We're to sow the seeds. God helps us sow the seed, and then we also can help that seed grow. I thoroughly enjoy driving across the countryside and seeing lovely gardens. Oh my goodness, there's a plot on Bailey Road that you can look at, and there's his garden, and it's coming through. It's lovely. He didn't plant quite as much this year. I hope that doesn't mean he's getting tired or he doesn't feel like it, but it's a fantastic garden. Who has a garden that is simply impeccably beautiful? Who does that here at this church? I want to know so I can be there at a certain time to, if you follow me. No, but these things are things of beauty when they're perfectly, shall we say, weeded and fertilized and different things are growing. You know what I'm talking about. Well, the process is there for faith as well. Two things. First, the whole idea of choosing. Second, the whole idea of growth that we don't have anything to do with. We can help it, but we don't have anything to do with it, even though we can assist. That is the way the Christian faith is. People are picked. God's people are picked. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, we find out that God has chosen the Hebrew people as his own. And the Hebrew people became the Jews after the diaspora or after they were conquered and taken to Babylon. And then when they came back, they're known as Jews. But then when Jesus came, the Jews did not follow the lead of God through Jesus. And what happened next is the followers of Jesus became the chosen people. Not that the Jews are forgotten. St. Paul addresses this in his letter to the Romans. But Christians are grafted on to the horticulture stock of being chosen. Now, this is going to grate into the consciousness of many of us because basically we like an egalitarian way of looking at life. We like for all of us to be equal, all of us to have equal standing. And you know, this is very American. It is true. Some of the basic tenets of this country are based upon that all people are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And today, being Flag Day, we remember those liberties as we look at the flag and we reflect upon what it means for us as Americans. But what we have also done is import the egalitarian tenets of being American, like we're all created equal and that we all have equal protection under the law. We import that into our faith. But it doesn't belong there. We are citizens of two cities. One is the city of the earth, American. The second one, we belong to the city of God. And as a result, members of the city of God are chosen. And God's chosen people continue to grow after the example of Christ. We want to be, as Christians, we want to be fair. We want to say, well, if you have been born in India, then your religion is Hindu, and the Hindu religion is as good as ours. It's just that you were born there and we were born here, not so. The Christian faith has certain unique properties which other religions do not. And for us in our American type thinking of all are equal, for us to try to interchange them is we miss the point. But the problem of recognizing that we Christians are chosen is that we like to move into triumphalism. I'm Christian, I'm chosen, and my faith is better than yours. And at that moment, when we think that, we've lost the spirit of Jesus. When we put down others because we feel and we know God's picked us, then we lose the privilege of being picked. Now today, that little boy that Bill is holding, his son, he was picked. He was picked to be recognized by this church. But earlier than that, he was picked by God to become part of this couple's life. He was known by God before Amanda ever gave birth. We just named him William Whalen. I wonder what God named him. Because in Jeremiah, it points out that God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Wow. Now, this is our tradition. This is a sacred individual, but also his parents are sacred. His extended family member, that is sacred. Why? Because God picked them. God picks us. To do what? To be like mustard seed. And the mustard seed grows, just like the kingdom grows. And we get to watch him, just like we get to watch each other. We get to watch growth of the kingdom. The kingdom's gonna grow. We can either help it or we can get in the way. That's your bottom line. So we can either help William Whalen as he grows in the faith, as we continue to grow in building God's kingdom under God's leadership, or we can block God and say, we're going to be God. You go take a powder, God. We're going to run this world our way. Now think of the privilege we have. Remember, when we forget and lord it over folks who are not Christian, and you know the different religions that we have, including selfish hedonism, which is part of the American way. Let's see how much money I can accumulate, and whoever dies with the most toys wins. You know how that is? For me, it's whoever dies with the most books wins, and I think I'm ahead. Ask Virginia, she'll tell you. But our point is this. When we practice triumphalism, the spirit of Jesus is away. But when we recognize that we have been picked as instruments of the salvation of the world, and that we are to witness to the ongoing process of kingdom building, we can witness it to it or we can walk away from it. Today, we witness to a young man being picked. Picked by God to live with this lovely couple, with this wonderful extended family. He's been picked to come and to have the baptism brought to him personally in this congregation. And we have a privilege, just as you have a privilege, but we also have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to remember in prayers little William Whalen and his parents, Amanda and Bill, and grandparents and cousins and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We already said we'd pray for him. That's how we help God build the kingdom. Now, when we neglect, when we ignore the growing process, instead of walking through the various valleys of shadows of death, of frustration and temptation, instead of walking through them, we make our camp. In them, we are holding up the kingdom. We become a detriment instead of a credit. That's what being picked is all about, dear friends. You and I have the privilege of watching a joyful family and watching each other. We also have the responsibility of living our lives after the example of Jesus. No, Christians are a chosen people. Make no mistake about it. But watch the triumphalism. We're not to lord it over. We are servants. We're to help. And we're to watch God bring in his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 227, also on the screen. There may be those individuals who would like to come about the altar for prayer. There may be others who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. If you come as we sing this hymn, we'd be very pleased to honor your request. I would like also to ask the Burnses if they would go with me to the to the front of the church at the benediction, because some of you may want to come by and to greet them personally. So if I could have the four of you walk back with me, that would be superb. We'll stand as we sing. Go forth in peace, in thanksgiving. People of God, go forth in joy. Enjoy your salvation. Remember, you are picked. All of us are picked to make a very real difference. Wherever we go, wherever we work, wherever we play, people look at you. They look at me. Do they see Jesus? Go in peace.